The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So welcome. A really warm welcome for all of you. It's so nice to be practicing together. I was smiling underneath my mask a little bit there when I was just thinking how great opportunity it is to come together. So a deep bow to all of you for coming, and to our friends on YouTube who are here with us. So tonight I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, we often have these good intentions, these good ideas of things that we're going to do, and maybe they don't always come to fruition, don't always happen. And we all know this, right? It's so much easier to have ideas about things to do, and then it's something completely different to actually do them. We all have this experience, I'm sure. And so one thing that I'd like to talk about today is this. I'm just distracted here for a moment while I'm trying to, keep track of what's happening on the other side of that camera. Okay. So one of the things I'd like to talk about today is one of these paramis. And so parami is a word that often gets translated as perfection, but that doesn't feel quite inspiring. Perfection just feels like some idealistic or otherworldly or something quality. But this idea of parami, these are these 10 qualities that are associated with awakening, that really support awakening. So they're associated with this movement towards freedom, towards greater ease, and this movement towards freedom. And the tradition holds that there are 10 of them, and these are practices that are in our daily life, not just on the cushion. You know, so much of the Buddhist teachings are about what happens, you know, with our eyes closed. But these are about what's happening in daily life, as well as, you know, in our meditation practice. And I don't know how long ago it was, but some time ago I started on this list of paramis, and so now I'd like to add one. And this is the parami of adhitana. Adhitana. It rhymes with satipatthana. Some of you may know the satipatthana, the four foundations of mindfulness. Adhitana has that same ending, tana, kind of like foundation, something a base, something we can stand on. It's derived from what we can stand on. And adi has this idea of fullness or completeness or maybe the next step or something. So adhitana often gets translated as determination, like this foundation which allows things to come to completion. So determination, resolve, resoluteness, tenacity, stick-to-itiveness, you know, something like this. And resolve is the eighth in this list of paramis. Quickly, I'll just say what the other ones are. Generosity, ethical behavior, renunciation, wisdom, energy, patience, truth, and resolve is number 8. Number 9 is loving kindness, and number 10 is equanimity. So you can see that resolve is kind of, you know, down there in the list. It's number 8 out of 10. And part of the reason why it's there later in the list is because it requires a mind that has already has a little bit of experience with some of the peace, some of the ease that can happen with this renunciation, with letting go, with generosity, with ethical behavior, working with truth. It allows this mind to say, yes, okay, this is the direction I want to go. So resolve is a commitment that's combined with a sense of, okay, I want to stick to this, find my way with this. So one way to think about resolve is that it's like a gentle and persistent wind that keeps blowing and is like supporting us in this particular direction. So we can feel it at our backs, just encouraging us to take the next step. Just the next step. And so for some people, this idea of resolve or steadfastness, persistence, is not something that really needs to be cultivated. There are some people who this is the way that they move through the world, is they set a goal, they start and they complete and they finish, and that's just what they do. Their life is filled with this. So maybe just the stick-to-itiveness and completeness isn't part of the parami for them, but might be what the parami is for those types of individuals, is to be able to stay connected to others, to stay connected to themselves while they're completing a task. Instead of kind of like slipping into some sheer doggedness that kind of has this mood of, get out of my way, I have something to do. Or maybe like a type of a tunnel vision of not paying attention to the impact it's having on others, or not being aware of the impact it's having on ourselves, and maybe not taking care of ourselves because we feel like we have to finish this thing. So resolve, adhidhana, resoluteness, is not stubbornness. Even though it shares from the outside, it might look a little bit like that, but stubbornness also has this kind of like ignoring the concerns and welfare for ourselves and for others. But it is a different way than often when we're thinking about where we have a direction we want to go, we often have a focusing on what's getting in the way. And often that comes with replaying and rehearsing and resentment and blaming. And we can find ourselves in this loop of just thinking like, well, if only that hadn't have happened, or I should have done this, I should have said that, or, you know, something along these lines that takes a tremendous amount of energy. So resolve isn't about just pushing through no matter what. It's associated with wisdom. Of course it is, right? If it's part of this path of practice towards greater freedom, it's going to have freedom and wisdom as part of the practice itself. Right? The means is not completely different than the goal. Of course not. So one of the ways that makes adhidhana, this resolve, a parami, rather than just another wholesome quality, is that it's associated with freedom, awakening, enlightenment. So it points us in that direction, and it also expresses, as best we can, as what's available to us at that time, these qualities of going towards awakening, going towards greater freedom with some compassion and warm-heartedness. So adhidhana serves to, it kind of like strengthens all the other paramis. helps us to be generous and to refrain from being harm and to be truthful when it's difficult, and certainly all these other good qualities. But just to recognize that we need resolve for this practice simply because it is not always easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Having a regular meditation practice is difficult. Going on retreats is difficult. Organizing one's life so that you can go on retreat is difficult. Or once you're on retreat, that's difficult too, right? So sometimes we need resolve just to be with the difficulties that arise when the mind starts to quiet and settle down. This can be the time when some of these difficulties from earlier in our life, maybe even decades ago, start to arise. So the purpose of this practice is to help us to see what we haven't seen before, to realize what we haven't realized before. In order for us to do this, to be stretched a little bit beyond what we've seen before, we need to be stretched, allow ourselves to be stretched. So resolve, determination is a way to maybe stretch us just a little bit out of our comfort zone, but not to the point of breaking. This is where wisdom comes in, right? Of course, we need wisdom with this. Right? There can be a way, this sheer doggedness that ends up just being harmful and painful. I certainly have done this too with being on a long retreat and having this feeling like, okay, you know, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but something better happen on this retreat. And so just kind of like just the sense of pushing and striving and not really noticing that at the same time I was pushing and striving, I was developing all this aversion and ill will towards everything else that I thought was like distracting me, and including all this poor self-recrimination. Diana, get it together. Come on, you have to go. You know, I was not noticing like how mean I was being to myself and getting filled with irritation with everybody around me. And week after week of this, you know, it wasn't pretty. And I, after the end of that retreat, I was a little bit of a mess. So there's so many different ways that this can show up, this pushing and striving in a way that's not helpful. So we need resolve, we need determination to stretch us, but not to break us. And this is part of the art of practice, is to know what is appropriate, what is appropriate of stretching. Because this practice is about transformation, and of course, for transformation to happen, it requires a little bit of effort. It requires some sustained effort, some persistence. So what are some of the things that get in the way? I'm not telling you something that you, anything that you don't already know. We know that this takes some effort. Sometimes we might have these underlying beliefs, these ideas that, okay, my spiritual life is going to be about, as long as I am just nice and pleasant and calm, that should be enough. It's certainly part of this practice, but it's not enough. If we feel like we, there are times in our practice when that is perfectly sufficient and enough, and it's all we can do to get to the cushion, it's all we can do to practice at all. But if we think the entire practice at all times, under all situations, just have, it's all about acceptance, and I do teach a lot about this because for me, this has been kind of a little bit of my edge, just, you know, learning to accept and allow. But at the same time, there are times when there needs to be a little bit of a warrior spirit. Joseph Goldstein describes it as when you're noticing that there's some thoughts that are coming up that are just unhelpful and you find yourself kind of ruminating or in this loop going around and around. He describes that sometimes it's helpful just to, he uses the expression, just chop off the head of the thoughts. You know, just kind of this, choo. So maybe sometimes that's what's needed. Like, no, this isn't helpful. I'm not going to do it. And so, of course, this is part of the art of practice to know, okay, when is it more about opening, allowing, and accepting, and just watching things arise? And when is it time to have a little bit more of that warrior spirit and to say, nope, I'm going to go a different direction. This isn't helpful. My practice requires both. And for us to not think that it's only one way. That could be a hindrance to our practice, to think that it's only one flavor, only one way to meet all the different things that arise during practice. So one thing I do want to say is, so I'm talking about kind of like this tenacity, stick-to-itness. But I don't want us to think that when we don't follow through is a failure. Instead, this practice is about, okay, what can I learn here? What were the conditions that made it difficult for me to follow through? Is there something that I can understand here? Is there something that can support me for my other aspirations, the other things that I want to do? So instead of, you know, completely giving up when we feel like, oh, okay, I didn't follow through on this resolve that I had made, that I had intended. Okay. What can I learn here? Maybe to investigate. What was happening? Maybe was the resolution that I made, was it maybe too vague? Maybe too made a resolve about something really far in the future without also considering the steps that would get there? It can be inspiring and beautiful to have aspirations for our practice, aspirations of greater freedom, greater peace. But also an integral part of this is, again, to bring in some wisdom. Okay, so what can I do today? What can I do this moment that's moving in that direction? So maybe there wasn't follow through because there wasn't a step, wasn't of thinking of, okay, what's the next step? Instead of thinking, I just want this or have this idea about some future state, without thinking about, okay, how can this moment right now contribute? And recently I've made this little statement that I remind myself on occasion that says physiology is paramount, and well, just to remind me that if I'm not feeling well, haven't slept, not eating well, not exercising, you know, all these types of things, it has an impact that sometimes just sitting on the cushion or whatever we're doing can't surmount, that we have to take care of ourselves. As well as half of the human population has hormones that are shifting on a regular basis, and to just kind of honor and respect that too. And just kind of respect our physiology, like, okay, this, we can't pretend like it's not there. So maybe our resolutions or resolves have to be really honor and respect our physiology as well, where we are with that. And maybe we learn, like, okay, If I haven't eaten, I'm more likely to be grumpy and to say things that I wish I hadn't said. We all know this. I'm not saying anything we don't know, but sometimes it's just helpful to say it out loud or to have this idea that, or to be reminded of it in some kind of way. So what do we make resolves on? What do we make aspirations with on? What is the aspiration that comes forth after we've been practicing a little bit? Once we've tasted some of the fruits of practice. Probably in a generic idea or in a maybe broad brush is that we want to move away from suffering. We want to have more freedom. But is there a way that we can make it more specific for us? Is there a way that we can make it more relevant for us? And this is part of the art of practice too, is to have a grand aspiration, which for me, I think is a beautiful thing to think about. It is possible to have greater freedom. It is possible. The Buddha points to this. We know individuals and teachers and people that have found greater ease and freedom. So why not for us? Why not? But then to join with this kind of aspiration, it's okay, so what can I do now? It's related to this. And just to recognize that, you know, we don't all have to have the same aspiration. And of course, different times of our life, different seasons of our life, different seasons of our practice. We'll have different ones. And so can we make an aspiration and a resolve, something that's inspiring, but also to do it in a way in which the resolve itself was a beautiful thing. As not harsh, not this sense of hard obligation, but the resolve itself was a beautiful thing. What would that be like? So the Buddha taught that there were four supports for resolves. We could also call them four resolves. So four things that could support us in reaching and making resolves. And the way this works kind of is that these are supports for all our resolves. And so because they're supports, we can also like resolve on them, and they will help us with anything else we want to do. So the first of these four is wisdom. And this makes perfect sense, right? We need to bring some wisdom to the aspirations we have, to the resolves we have, the ones that are appropriate for us, and help bring in some of this quality of what's helpful, what's not helpful, what's skillful, what's not skillful. Help us to set aspirations that aim at something worthwhile for our life energy, to put our life energy towards. And one, as I said, that's a stretch for us, but not up to the point of breaking. As well as wisdom is needed for clearly understanding what are the different things that would be required. What are the different steps? How can I create the conditions for this aspiration to arise? So wisdom. And to be sure, all of us have enough wisdom to know what the next step is. It's not like we have to wait to have enough wisdom. The second one is truth. Part of bringing truth in with our aspirations could be just asking ourselves, what's needed here? What are the conditions? What's the next step? But then the truth part comes in being honest with ourselves. If I want to have more settledness, maybe I need to spend less time on the internet, for example. Maybe I need to spend less time ruminating about my favorite thing to ruminate about. And sometimes it's hard, difficult to see what we might have this idea of what's required of us, and we might feel like, no, I don't want to do that. But this honesty about what's required. And then the third one is relinquishment. Of course, there's going to be something, some letting go that's going to be required, some letting go that's going to be needed. And we know this from the Dhammapada, this famous verse, right? If by giving up a lesser happiness, one could experience a greater happiness, a wise person would renounce the lesser to behold the greater. So just recognizing that there'll be some letting go that has to happen. Of course it does. If we want to exercise more, then we have to find, we have to do less of something else in our life just to fit the time in. Four resolves: wisdom, truth, relinquishment. Then the last one is peace. Is there a way that we can keep the mind calm while working towards an aspiration? There will be difficulties. It wouldn't be an aspiration. It wouldn't require determination if there were no difficulties. There will be difficulties. Is there a way that, as best we can keep some composure, some ease about, okay, this is hard. This is hard. And maybe I don't feel like I can take the next step right now, but I'm not going to abandon myself. Maybe it's not going to look pretty. Maybe it's not going to be in a straight line, but to just not abandon ourselves. Maybe it doesn't look the way that we were expecting, hoping, imagining, but to hang in there with our aspirations, to hang in there with ourselves, just one step at a time, just one step at a time. Aditana, resolve, determination, resoluteness, tenacity. Just this ability to begin again and again and again. Not only for ourselves, but for our communities and our loved ones. To hang in there with them, to hang in there with ourselves when we come across some difficulties in a way that brings peace, brings freedom, and has the kind of the peace, the freedom, the letting go, the truth as integral parts of it. So that our practice is a benefit not only for ourselves, but for those we come in contact with, and maybe they come in contact with others, and this way our practice can be for the benefit of all beings everywhere. Thank you.